So we'll go to the morning instructions. You will see I have here on my lap a rather large book. The middle length discourses of the Buddha. And in it, there are many, many meditation instructions. But there's two suttas in particular that have very, have a lot of step-by-step instructions about how to meditate. They're actually quite wonderful instructions. And today I'm going to take the instructions from the Anapanasati Sutta. Anapanasati means mindfulness of breathing, or some of us like to say mindfulness with breathing. So the mindfulness is there with the breathing. The other very famous sutta of the Buddha in terms of meditation instructions is the Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundations of mindfulness. And these two suttas fit together rather well. The teachings in them are not different. The Anapanasati Sutta has 16 couplets, or 16, can you translate the Hebrew word for couplet?
Sugotulai, couplets.
Okay. So 16 couplets with meditation instructions. So there's four couplets for the first foundation of mindfulness. The first foundation of mindfulness is, as many of you know, mindfulness of the body. And then, of course, there's another four for the next, which is mindfulness of feelings. And the next foundation of mindfulness is mindfulness of mind states, or mindfulness of mental formations. And so again, in the Anapanasati Sutta, there's four couplets, which we will come to in a few days' time, with very specific directions for how to take up the practice of being mindful of the mind, or mindful of mind states. And then, of course, the fourth section, the last four couplets, refer to mindfulness of the Dhamma, the fourth foundation of mindfulness. Dhamma, of course, means teachings of awakening. In this case, it refers to the Buddha's teachings of awakening. Dhamma also has other meanings. It means all things. So in the fourth section, we're invited to reflect and contemplate the Dhamma teachings and to take up particular teachings and inquire into them. So today I'm just going to begin with the first foundation of mindfulness, mindfulness of the body. Before I launch into the couplets, there's some other directions in the sutta, and I find them rather interesting. When I first began to meditate 40 years ago, we were given meditation instructions, yet no one ever actually talked about or spoke about what happened when we sat on the cushion. Sometimes we would speak with the teacher, but apart from that, there was very much the attitude in the tradition of not talking about your meditation experience. And in the monastic tradition, this is still the case. We, on the other hand, can be quite free about this, and one of the precious and valuable things that I've discovered in my many years of practice and in teaching is that when we talk about and discuss what actually happens when we endeavour to take up these instructions, then we can learn from one another and learn from each other. So that's what we're going to do in a little while. In the text it says, a bhikkhu, so a monk, and in this case that's us, men and women, meditating and practicing the Dharma. A bhikkhu abides contemplating the body as body. Ardent. Now, ardent means enthusiastically. Okay, so we need to bring some enthusiasm to our practice. A curiosity, a delight. We need to look at it as if sitting down to meditate isn't a chore, or it isn't something terrible that we have to survive until the bell goes at the end of the session, but rather it's something that we can be really curious about and explore and inquire into. So our attitude needs to be one of enthusiasm and curiosity. It could be a surprise. Sometimes we come to the meditation with a rather fixed idea of what our meditation will be like. And it may not be like that at all. It may be totally different today. We might be someone who struggles in meditation and the mind goes all over the place. Or we have lots of pain in the body. It may not be like that today. And similarly, if you've done many retreats and you can sit very still and feel very calm and feel very serene, it may not be like that today. So we need to let go of our fixed notions and ideas that we have about ourselves, our practice, how we meditate, and what we will discover. So the attitude of enthusiasm, mindfulness, awareness, really being very curious about what it is just to sit and be with our direct experience. The next part of the direction is to put away covetousness. Now, even for English speakers, covetousness is not a word that's used very much, and it means the desire to possess. So when we sit down, we need to put aside our tendency of mind to want to possess everything. We want to possess ourselves rather naturally. We want to possess perhaps another person. We want to possess in our life particular objects. We really, really very often want to possess pleasure. We want to delight in the senses. And we don't want anything unpleasant or uncomfortable. So we need, actually, the direction is, we're invited. Please put that aside for the moment. So we put aside our covetousness, our tendency of mind to want and to possess. And the next part is we're invited, or it says, we put away covetousness and grief for the world. Now, when I say to people, put aside grief for the world, they say, but are you really asking me to put aside my compassionate heart and my compassion for the suffering of the world? Of course not. That's not what it means. What it means here, if we take the Pali word, it actually means the burden of the world. So the invitation in our meditation is for the moment to put aside the burden of the world and then see what we discover when we're mindful, alert, aware, awake. And what accompanies the burden of the world is often some kind of negativity, or ill will, or thoughts about ourselves that are critical, or thoughts about another that are unkind. So in our practice, we're asked to let those go, put them aside, sit down, and then contemplate the breath. And the first of the couplets is this. It's breathing in long. One understands, I breathe in long. Breathing out long. One understands, I breathe out long. Now, is that not clear as day? It's really, really simple. If we breathe in, it's a long breath, we know that. If we breathe out, and it's a long breath, we know that. So, it's utterly a simple practice from that point of view. It is to notice the breath as it's come to be. And the next of the couplets, of course, is breathing in short, or breathing in a short breath. One understands, I breathe in short. Breathing out, short breath. I understand, or I know, I breathe out short. So it's simply to be with the breath. Now this word mindfulness has a couple of meanings. It means to be intimate with, to be very, very near, and it also means to remember. So we need to remember to bring our attention to the breath, but we don't need to be some kind of disassociated, distant observer from our experience, but rather really totally with the breath. So totally with it, so that there is no separation between I, the one who is breathing, and the breath itself. So when we breathe in, we just need to feel, as we breathe in, directly experience all the sensations that accompany the breath, the rising of the chest. The still point where we're not breathing in or not breathing out. And then the exhalation and the fall of the chest and so on. And all the sensations that accompany that. Sometimes there's tingling or warmth or heat or coolness. Whatever occurs as you breathe, you simply notice what is happening. So as you breathe in and as you breathe out. Being with the breath as it is. You see, we really easily divide our experience. We say, I am breathing. And already we have the notion or the idea that I am this body here. And I open my mouth or breathe in through my nose and the air comes in. And the air goes out. So we have this idea of here I am and I'm breathing. But perhaps we could look at it a different way. And this is rather quirky, but it can help to just change our perception and loosen up the notion of self. Imagine for a moment all the air in this room. And it comes along and it dives into Lila's lungs and out, and then into yours and out. So we can look at it in a different way. Ordinarily we assume that I am the one who's doing the breathing. But actually, if we look closely, the breathing just happens. It happens by itself. We go to sleep and we're not paying attention, and the breathing continues. The breathing happens by itself. And the air in this room is coming into the lungs of each person here and out. And after a while it comes in and out. So sometimes we can just shift our perception a little bit so that we get a sense of the entire room, breathing together. Or even bigger than that, all of us on this planet, breathing in and breathing out. We are invited in the text to be mindful of the breath, but not to claim it as me and mine. And this is one of the ways that we begin to understand the Buddha's teaching of not self. Because if we just start to see the breath as breath, the body as body, as part of organic life rather than as me or mine, it loosens up the construct we have of ourselves, who we are, how we ought to be, how we're not, and all of our views and opinions about ourselves, all of our shortcomings, all of our ideas, all of our desires, all of our wishes. So what I'd like to do now is just a little 3-minute practice of mindfulness of the breath. And all I want you to do is simply be very still, see if you can notice and pay attention to every single breath as it comes in, as the breath turns and then is released. Just pay attention. And if your mind wanders off, just come back again. And of course, notice if the breath is even or uneven. And it doesn't matter. However it's come to be, as it is, is that which we're being mindful of. And as you breathe, please be with the breath and all of the sensations that accompany it. So please sit. And we're just going to do it for 3 minutes. It's the quick road to liberation. 3 minutes long. Instruction is breathing in long, one understands I breathe in long. Breathing out long, one understands I breathe out long. Breathing in short, one understands I breathe in short. Breathing out short, one understands I breathe out short. What did you discover? Anybody? Nothing. What did you discover? Just as you tried to do that, as you tried to follow the instruction.
Many distractions.
Okay, so where did the I thought go? What were the distractions? Where did the sense of I and the mind land? On the body. Okay. And what was the experience?
Pain.
Okay. And so a feeling somewhere in the body, can you say?
Dizzy.
Okay.
Nauseous.
Okay, so agitated sensations. Okay. This is so normal. Who in the room's experienced agitated sensations? Sit trying to meditate. Everybody. Okay, so we endeavor to focus on the breath, and then we experience lots of agitation. Then what happened?
You rang the bell.
Okay. Then you heard the bell, and with the bell, what happened to the agitated sensations? They stopped. Okay, what does that tell you? Exactly. If the painful sensations stop when the bell rings, it tells us that it's not a physical sensation, not actually the body, it's some pressure from the mind. Because as soon as we don't have to sit, the unpleasant sensations totally vanish. This is a great insight, actually, if you take that. So we give reality sometimes to sensations that come into being because we have put a certain pressure on ourselves to experience something. And the pressure can be as simple as, I want to meditate. Or it can be the very thought that, I want to have a peaceful meditation. Were there any thoughts like that that you had? Yes. You see? So, my suggestion is, you endeavor to sit with this feeling you described so well with your arms. You just went, when the bell went, you went, oh. Okay? So see if you can have that attitude. As you said, that sense of letting go, actually, that sense of beautiful freedom, as you said. And then the quality of your sitting will change. There will be much more ease and joy. Anybody else? What did you discover? Just in trying to sit for 3 minutes. Yes?
Observe them, really sensing tiredness and the mind kept sinking. And I could see the mind is sinking down, and then there was this talk of clarity and waking myself up.
Yes.
Then again, there were all kinds of fluctuation of the mind becoming more heavy and dull and then having more clarity.
Okay.
And I felt struggling to keep myself really awake and maintain clarity.
Alright, so shifting, changing qualities of attention. Sometimes there's alertness, sometimes there's dullness. And it comes and goes. So what does that tell you?
Anicca.
Anicca! Exactly! Exactly!
It also tells me I need to go to
sleep. Yeah! Okay, so the wisdom aspect is, have I been working in the kitchen for hours and hours, and do I need actually a rest? Do I need more sleep, really? Or am I just tired because there's something I don't want to look at? I'm not saying in this case, but sometimes our tiredness actually is a mask or a cover for something we don't want to see or know or look into. And we can just sit with ourselves, and the minute we sit down to meditate, we're nodding off. If we get up and walk around or do something else, we're not tired at all. It's just that sometimes we want to escape. We want to escape the reality of our life. We want to move away from what needs attention. So this is another issue in terms of tiredness. Okay, so far. We've seen that our attention is sometimes wonderful and sometimes absent. There's the presence and absence of the mindfulness itself and of our quality of attention. And if we really look into that, it reveals to us, as Srini just said, the impermanence of this life. So you see, in 3 minutes we've discovered the impermanence of bodily pain and the impermanence of the mind and the quality of attention. We're going to go on because I'm running out of time. We have 2 more instructions. The next is I shall breathe in, experiencing the whole body of breath. The couplet is often just written, I shall breathe in, experiencing the whole body. So one of the ways we can approach this is we can give attention to the entire breath. So as we breathe in from the very beginning of the breath, the turning of the breath, the release of the breath. So we follow the path with our attention of the entire breath. And you'd think that was really simple too, but actually it's quite difficult to maintain attention. And we need to have some enthusiasm and a quiet determination to be rather focused. This will really help the quality of our meditation. And the 4th of the couplets is, I shall breathe in tranquilizing the bodily formation, or calming the bodily formation. I shall breathe out, calming the bodily formation. So we deliberately can use the breath to calm the body and the mind, actually. But in this case, the direction is to breathe in, calming the body, and to breathe out, using the breath to really calm the body. So let's just do 1 more of these experiments together. Let's do, I shall breathe in, experiencing the whole body of breath. I shall breathe out, experiencing the whole body of breath. And see what happens. So again, if you would indulge me, and I know it's a bit kind of teacherish, but I think it's a really precious thing if we can see not only how to meditate, but how to inquire into the experiences that we do have when we just sit. So please, another 3 minutes. I breathe in, experiencing the whole body of breath. I breathe out, experiencing the whole body of breath. is there someone brave enough to share the experience of what happened just as you tried to do that? Yes?
Thinking.
Okay. So, anyone else think?
Yes.
Lots of people. Okay, so when the thinking occurred, what was your relationship to the thought? Yes.
And then I try to let go at a certain point, and then a different thought came. And then, so some of the thoughts I wanted to continue, and some of them, but intentionally I tried to let go.
Okay. So a thought arises, and some of the thoughts we actually want. Mm-hmm. Because they're pleasant thoughts. And then we have another thought about the thought. And then we have another thought, which is, oh, I meant to be meditating. And then we go, I'm supposed to be letting go of these thoughts. We're curious creatures, aren't we? Okay, so then what happened as you let go of the thought? What occurred?
A few seconds of breathing and then again a different thought.
Oh! There was a space. Okay, so for a moment, even half a second, there was the absence of thought. Okay, so sometimes thoughts are present and sometimes they're absent. We cannot hold on to a thought even if we want to, can we? They're invisible, they're colourless, we can't see them. Did you have the view that the thought was yours?
No, no. I was really into the thought, so I'm not sure.
Okay. You were so engrossed in the thought. There was not the awareness that thought is just thought. Because thoughts arise and cease dependent upon conditions. They come, they stay for a moment, and they go. And we have perhaps about 70,000 of them a day. And almost all of them we've had before. Not even urging. Yet, we give thought so much value and we think, this is me, I'm thinking, and therefore, that makes me a hopeless meditator. Or I'm not doing this properly because I'm thinking. Could be the view. I'm not saying this is the case here or always. But we have a thought, and then the thought's often accompanied by a feeling, and then we have a thought about that. And before we know it, we're, inventing some catastrophe. Or we're thinking something totally dramatic, or we're in some fantasy that's not happening at all, some fantasy about the future. Or, of course, the mind has gone to the past, and we're reliving and remembering perhaps the pain of the past. Part of our practice is to really track and see and know where the sense of I rests and lands and clings. So of course, as we endeavour to pay attention to the breath, something as simple as I'm breathing in and breathing out, we will feel pain. We will evaluate what's going on and say, oh, I'm paying attention or I'm not paying attention. We will have thoughts, and some of those thoughts we'll like and some we won't like. Pleasant and unpleasant feelings. The Buddha directs us to cling to nothing, to abide independently, not clinging to anything in this world. So not even to the thoughts we want to have. So as we sit, we need to see the impermanent nature of the shifting, changing sensations. We need to see the impermanent nature of the feeling world. When the bell goes, feelings change. We need to see the impermanent nature of thoughts. They're coming, going, coming, going, coming, going. We didn't ask them to come. And here they are. Come uninvited. So we just need to see that and loosen up the construct of the I. And form is not self. Feelings are not self. Perceptions are not self. Mental formations are not self. And consciousness is not self. And when we start to meditate, just by doing a simple practice of breathing in and breathing out, we can start to see all of this. Just in the three people who have spoken, we have a lot of the Dharma laid out before us. There's one more person joining. Anybody else? I've noticed anything about what happened when you tried to sit? Yes?
I had heat flash.
Yes? Heat?
Yeah, like all the body. I could feel all the heat.
Yes.
And also the breath. The breath.
Yes.
And I couldn't know where to look at. To look at the breath or to look at the heat.
Okay. Good point. So sometimes when we're sitting, we experience a sensation that is no longer in the background, but it comes into the forefront of consciousness. We can't help but notice something. So in this case, you had the sense of the breathing, and then you had the heat. Was the heat rising through the body? And then what happened to the heat?
All over the body.
Yes, and then?
And I start sweating.
Yes.
And feeling nervous.
Yes.
But it's physically.
Yes.
It's
yes.
My age.
Yes, yes. We can have this heat that comes through the body. But women at a certain age, it's incredibly common. And it is, in Dharma terms, it's just the fire element, the heat. And then what happens?
So
now?
I was confused what to look at.
Yes.
And the breeze or the heat.
When that happens, when something becomes very, very strong, then just notice the shifting, changing sensations in that, because you know that the heat always subsides, don't you? You know that it comes, stays a little bit, and then it passes. This too is the impermanent nature of things.
But what to look at?
Yes. When the heat is very strong, it's fine to pay attention to that, and then as it passes, you just simply come back to the breath.
Because I felt both of them.
Yes, that's okay. You could feel both of them, couldn't you? Our heart, the citta, our attention, has the capacity to feel the two things. No problem.
To look at both.
Yeah. So we tend to think, oh, if I look at one, I'm doing it right, and if I look at the other, I'm doing it wrongly. Don't worry. It's okay. We can notice both at the same time. But the primary object of attention in this practice is the breath. So when the sensations subside enough from the heat, you then just gently come back to the breath. Thank you. So let's just sit for 30 seconds before we do our walking meditation. thank you for listening, and especially thanks to those who contributed to the conversation.